The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. This is Erin Green sitting in for C.A. Newry on Guardian Radio AM. I'm keeping an open line this morning. Again, I want to remind the audience there is an extremely sensitive subject in the papers for the last few days. Everybody wants to talk about it. I can understand why. I am hesitating to talk about it, first of all, because I just get excited and flustered, and I may slip and say something that is inappropriate to be uttered on the airwaves. I want my audience to exercise patience and caution, and I am advising, let us let a bit more information flow into the public domain. And if you don't believe me when I say that this is a sensitive subject, right? Well, then just pick up the Tribune and read the headline, Walker denies lack of trust in Bahamian government. There's something that he said here, right, that it stuck with me, but for the purpose of another conversation, right? Maybe it was in the Guardian article about Walker's walkthrough at the BTV, with BTVI staff, right? But, quote, the Bahamas and the U.S., we're working together. I think this is a combined effort, close quotes, he said. Like, when you hear language like that, like, let's pause and see what working together means. The story begins, U.S. Ambassador Herschel Walker denied yesterday that the redaction of a Bahamian politician's name from a U.S. court filing reflected a lack of trust in the Bahamian government. Quote, it is strange because things like that happen. People are so surprised by it, close quotes, he said. Quote, but you know, I think things that just happen and sometimes people just don't understand the reason why. I don't think no one understood the reason. And why. I have to reread that last part again. I don't think no one understood the reason why, close quotes. I am just impressed by how quickly Mr. Walker has taken on the language of a statesman. You sound like a real politician, sir. Language like that concerns me and tells me, let's just pause for a moment and let some more information enter the public domain. This comment I was looking for is actually in the new BTVI campus story. New BTVI campus could cost $250 million, officials say. There's a point in here where he says that we are family. I want to talk about that, but first let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
Wait a minute, since it's an open line, right? Mm-hmm. Have you noticed, right, for some strange reason, every 6 years, they starting to come up with outbreaks. In 2008, right, we had the Ebola. Mm-hmm. 2014, COVID-19, right? Mm-hmm. 2020, right? Mm-hmm. No, 2020, COVID-19, mm-hmm. right? 2014, the H1N1, right? Mm-hmm. Now, 6 years later, they bring in Ebola again.
Hold on, Ebola and the Hunter virus.
So you won't see a sequence in that. For some reason, consistently every 6 years.
Okay, I mean, let's talk about the difference between, like they'll say, the difference between cause and correlation. This is slightly different, right? It is possible that there is an environmental cycle that we are unaware of that makes it more likely for a thing to become an epidemic, right? That's possible.
But Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
Every 6 years?
I don't know.
Religiously?
Mm-hmm.
No more, you know, something with that.
On another note, right, I'm looking at the composition of the cabinet. Like, virtually everybody got a job, right? And I'm thinking to myself, Did virtually everybody get a job because virtually nobody wants to not be the competent authority?
It's grand jury going to avoid this topic. Every 6 years, something happened. They come up something every 6 years.
I ain't avoiding it. You just ain't catch the line in the water. That's all.
And the second thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, with Herschel Walker, right? Boy, I hope the CYC crew don't come out on this one.
Oh, no, they won't. That's totally, and first of all, it's totally inappropriate no matter who the target is. That type of language is unacceptable.
Right, that's why I strongly hope they don't come out.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling on social media they might come out on this one.
Listen, after the pronouncements made immediately following Charlie Kirk's assassination, right, that U.S. officials were calling on American citizens to identify and report any foreigners in the country making fun or being seen or behaving in a way that could be considered as derision, right? That, you know, we're going to consider removing their status from the country. I think that made a very big impression on Bahamians, and they know who to direct their words at, right? They know who to direct their words at. Plus, y'all don't see Trump say he's considering the potential of possibly assessing whether he should come to the Bahamas for his son's wedding? You can be easy in these kinds of times. Producer, let's go to the caller while I look for this quote. Good morning, caller.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Not here, because, you know, I told you a long time, you all don't listen to me. I say, you all better thank God Donald Trump left the Bahamas. You see, we have a lot of people in these social media groups talking about kind of corrupt. See, people tweeting me, that's weird, man. I just started reading. I was reading for 50 plus years. Now, my main point is somebody was sending something around on the social media concerning the Philippines, was saying all the politicians and civil servants who get caught in misappropriation their country money will go in the fire and squat. Why we can't do these same kind of things here? Now, I know treason is they're banging on our books, you know. See, when we can do some things to stop these people from doing crap. See, they know they can do all kind of foolishness and they ain't getting the jail. Because we take them another. If we tried to send them to the jail, you see, if this country wouldn't be back, the tower would be back in this area. And one more thing before I go to this is, see, I wasn't a budget. I just saw Michael Halkidis and the final secretary or the financial secretary start paying on his debt. And they can start by paying off $300 million a year. Now, even times that by 5 years. And give me the amount. I can use my calculator right now. I'm taking my call.
My calculator don't go that high. Thank you very much. I thought that the national debt would be a priority issue for the next 5 years. It does not seem so. Let's go to the next caller, producer. Good morning, caller.
Hey, Aaron, what you say, man?
I good.
Man, look here, your show is the best and the best, and you cannot beat that.
Listen, it's only because I lodge up next to the best. I in between all of them.
Listen, I went to the airport.
Yes, sir.
Now, listen, I can't confirm if he on the plane, but a Trump plane just landed about half an hour ago. I can't say he on it now.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I went to the airport and I saw the plane land just now.
Okay. Oh,
and
wow.
I just want to I'm let you know. Like I say, let me say it again. I can't confirm if he's on the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good day, man. See you later, darling.
Thank you. Thank you for that notice. Listen, everybody, on your best behavior, please. On your best behavior, please. Also, so I found a quote, right? In the article, new BTVI campus could cost $250 million, officials say in today's Nassau Guardian. Caller, I come in right now. Quote, because one thing we want to do is make it easy. We are family. So what we have to do is make things easier. Being so close in proximity to the U.S., we want people to know that the U.S. is with you. I think that's one of the things people see, what's happening in Trump's administration. And they just assume things are difficult. But it's really not. Things are very simple, close quotes. Good morning, caller.
I love your show, Aaron. You are one of the best.
Thank you.
On the radio. If Uncle Trump, that I'd been following before he was president from 1999, is coming to this country, tell him I love him so much. Tell him I'm his biggest supporter all over social media, and we welcome him with open arms because he's great.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, so I read that quote just before. Because one thing we want to do is make it easy. We are family. So what we have to do is make things easier. Being so close in proximity to the U.S., we want people to know that the U.S. is with you. I think that's one of the things people see, what's happening in Trump's administration, and they just assume things are difficult, but it's really not. Things are very simple. One of the first agendas that President Trump said is keeping America safe. And people think when I came to the Bahamas, I was just looking to keep America safe. But if I keep America safe, I have to keep Bahamians safe as well. So this goes together, and that's the reason we got a new embassy, and that's the reason we have Education USA. We want people to come, the kids to come, and learn how to make it easier to go to the U.S., close quotes. He continued, quote, technical school is just as important, and some technical schools are more important, close quotes. I like that. I like this, that we're family. Why? Because we are. Half my family is American. Half. We are a family. Families is row. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Mr. Green, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good, thank you.
Couple of quick points, please, Mr. Green, since you said open line.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a couple of Bahamians talking about if we come to run this country and stuff like that. I mean, did you notice what's going on in America in terms of how they seem to be trying to take away all the rights of black people in terms of even contributing to the voting process? It's like they're trying to bring back slavery days in America.
Okay, so there is this broad, I mean, when I say this huge conversation, not just broad across the states, but
yes,
huge conversation, and the question that many African Americans are asking themselves, right? Like, is this just politics as usual, Republicans and Democrats fighting each other, or is this a concerted effort to diminish the rights of African Americans and indigenous Americans, many of which are phenotypically African?
It sure seems that way, Ms. Green. It sure seems that way.
Yeah.
And but Ms. Green, you were talking about the budget or something, but the speech from the throne, right? But I think I heard him. I think that's what you meant. But there was an item mentioned. they mentioned something in the speech from the throne. I was wondering if someone could probably give me a little more clarity in it, because I was kind of in and out while she was talking, you know?
Okay.
And I heard him mention something about state-owned agencies.
State-owned, right? Enterprises, the term,
yes,
SOE?
Yes, having to submit something to the government as it pertains to subsidies, like, you know what I mean?
Stick a pin, hold on. So there has been a question, it didn't really rise to the rally surface, right? But there's been a question of the operation of state-owned enterprises and whether they're following the laws, policies, and regulations, specifically concerning the reporting of funds, right? And the way the auditing and reporting of funds given to and used by these state-owned enterprises, right?
Okay.
And so that's why on my list of things, I thought the government would indicate is a priority in this new administration is enhancing and shoring up, strengthening the mechanisms to ensure government transparency and ensuring that agencies and ministries not only understand, but have both the human resource, the technical resource, and the actual capacity to manage the reporting requirements in the time frame mandated by law.
Okay. All right, Mom.
All right.
All right, Mom. Something I noticed something that I was watching. I was scrolling to TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady was talking, and they was talking about why it is that African-run countries or black-run countries have a different relationship with the IMF than other companies like Singapore, and I think it was even Taiwan. Right?
Let me give you a perfect example. You know, a few years ago, the French president told its citizens, hey, Let me, y'all need to peep this vibe. If we stop taxing our former colonies, we'll be a third world state, just like them, right? So one of the reasons possibly they treat African states differently from global North states, which include Europe, I mean, Australia, even though, and New Zealand, even though they're down at the bottom, right, is that we are the capital that they are using to maintain their economic strength.
Yes, we're the lifeline.
So they have to assess us differently, because if they actually acknowledged the strength that we have, then the table would have to flip, and then they would realize that they are the markets that we derive our profit from.
Yes, okay? Mom, because the reason why I mentioned that too is because, you know, like, I mean, I haven't heard them talk about it recently, but, you know, some time ago they used to talk about how Singapore progressed as a nation. You know what I mean? People here used to use Singapore as an example of what a nation can do and how a nation can improve its situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that we don't understand about that situation is that strategy is that we would have to implement or to use to grow is what the IMF is prohibiting us to do. But in Singapore, they can do it. And what that is state-owned industries or state-owned revenue-generating things, right?
Mm-hmm.
They call that socialist mindset when it comes to us.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to Singapore, they call it developmental strategy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it is allowed with them, but for us, it's forbidden. So if we want to achieve, right, if we want to achieve an economy like Singapore's, for all of those individuals who like to talk about Singapore so much, then we got to re-nationalize our state-owned revenue-generating agencies.
Mm-hmm.
All right, people, you can't let these people swindle you out of your essential services, because in my personal opinion,
mm-hmm.
right, they had no right or they were not empowered to do that, and they sought some type of loophole to take away from us our essential services. That's why Telco or them other BP or BEC, they still exist. We still own those things. They could not get rid of the thing itself. But so what they did was they take away all the things that made the thing something, all the revenue generating, and left us with the bare thing, with the debt. And what I want to know about that too, Ms. Green, is that if BEC or whatever they want to call it will be still owned, so that a big old debt that it had prior to them privatizing it and doing all the revenue generation, right? How
yeah.
we can get the money to pay that debt off to that thing we still
own
when other people get all the money from the thing?
Listen, I'm not laughing at you, nor am I laughing at the plight of the Bahamian people or future generations of Bahamians that are eventually going to have to clarify this quagmire. But I'm understanding what you're saying. I would articulate some of it differently, but I absolutely understand what you're saying. You know, it makes me think of the conversation I think the IMF is trying to have with Dangote, if that's how you Dangote in Nigeria, who has who has constructed an oil industry, refinery, whatever it takes, right? All internal, right? Nigeria can fuel itself. Nigeria can help to fuel Africa. And now the IMF is telling them, oh, well, we don't know if we could let your fuel into our markets because of this. You're not hitting this standard. You're not hitting that standard. You're not hitting this requirement. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, they will continue to shift the goalposts.
Yeah, move the goalposts.
They will, continue to move the goalposts. But listen,
yes, ma'am, but see, Ms. Green, that's why we as a people, right,
mm-hmm.
we have to be educated on the things that are important to us, that we should never allow, that should be non-negotiable when politicians take power. And I mean, like I said, the politicians got us, right, especially in the case of Patelco, when they were talking about Patelco, some of the Bahamian public, they got us to call for competition on ourselves.
Listen, they're good at that. They're good at that. Producer, let's get to the next caller. They're good at that. And I'm very concerned that we are in another conversation we don't understand as well, this digital ID conversation. Good morning, caller.
Alan.
Hi, good morning.
I think Singapore was not a good example.
Okay.
In terms of in Singapore, you don't do what you can do. You can't do that kind of stuff in Singapore and get away.
The culture of law and order and enforcement is different there.
You know, in this country,
mm-hmm.
you can get away with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but in Singapore, no. I think, you know, we need to get our information correct, because if we don't get our information correct, our perspective is going to be impaired,
mm-hmm.
and our perception is going to be faulty.
Yeah. Well, you know, I reiterated so much of what he had to say. I said in the last part, let me just let him say what he, you know, let him say it the way he wants to say it. I would not, I was shocked at that example, but I think the premise is good.
No. No. You know, it's a good premise.
Yeah.
But, you know, the articulation for a clear perspective, you know, and I still have problems with, you know, 1 week after the election, right?
Mm-hmm.
These guys finally have the heart to talk about what's wrong.
Y'all listen to that, eh?
And 60%, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the constituencies, really, you know, the, you know, I think it's like 60% or less. Those are like what we call strongholds, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like those people don't want nothing, or they're satisfied with, like, you know, but above 60 and 70, all those are progressive areas.
I hear you, yeah. I think that's perhaps the most important conversation coming out of the election, right? This inner city voter turnout lowest. Why such a low turnout? What are these people articulating by apparently participating in political activities but not going out to vote?
No, too many of the persons in the inner city are living hand to mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you know,
and they turn into any strategy they have. Yeah, they turn into any strategy that they could perceive to try and enhance their lives. Right, I ain't mad at you. If you can get paid to go to a rally and that money could help you buy the Pampers that you so desperately need, I ain't mad at you.
No. But see, it gives you an idea of what the mindset is.
Mm-hmm.
And that space between your ears, you know, I don't care how poor you are or how needy. If you don't regard that space between your ears as a sacred space,
Think about this.
Politicians.
They didn't sell their vote. Think about this, though. They didn't sell their vote, right? If I put on party paraphernalia and I go to a rally, or you pay me to go to a rally, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then after the rally, I take off the paraphernalia and I don't vote for your party, right? I prefer that than you getting paid and then going to vote for them. You know?
Sounds almost comical.
Because it is. Life is that way, right? Life is that way. There's a humor to it. And, you know, remember Goodfellas? When Joe Pesci look at the boy and say, funny how? Funny ha-ha? Or funny interesting? Right? There's a humor to it. All right, so I get the text line. Let's go to the text line before I go back to that quote by Herschel Walker. Good morning, Aaron. Regarding the caller's comment on there possibly being a six-year cycle with respect to global pandemics, it's gematria, which the elite and movers and shakers use in every decision and action and projection. In the case of these outbreaks, the common denominator is six. And some other symbols here say, do the math. I can't do the math on the airwaves. And I think for my audience at this point, the most important thing is that just because you don't believe in something, it doesn't mean that others don't believe in it. And just because you don't think something is real doesn't mean that it's actually not real. Let's, another text. No, Brave and Pintard need to take note of a real leader, Donald Trump. No one's rights are getting taken away in America. Black people can still vote. They change in the makeup of some constituencies. We just did that this election. Same thing, or I'm missing something? No, it's the same thing. Here, the conversations we had were about whether we need legislation to restrict what some people call gerrymandering, right? And so it is sort of like a loophole that politicians have available to them. Caller is coming to you right now. I'm so sorry. Call back, caller. Here's another text. Let's read, please. Ebola outbreaks have been reported since 1976, 1979, 1994, 1995, 1997, 2001, 2003, 2004, and on and on. The pathway for virus transmission is known. It's simple contact with an infected animal or person. Oh God, private islands to change hands. Talk about financial declarations between start and end of administrations. We may see the first trillionaire by 2029, but the farmers declaring bankruptcy in droves. Well, producer, prep the caller. After the caller, we're going to get to this article in yesterday's paper addressing the comments in the speech from the throne vis-a-vis transparency mechanisms. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there?
Hey, Ms. Green. What's happening?
Everything's good. How are you?
Listen to me. Let me draw the scenario to you.
Uh-huh.
You have a case of bear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I have a case of bear.
Mm-hmm.
And you invite some people to come by and drink some beers. I invite some people to come by and drink some beers.
Mm-hmm.
I have enough people to drink 24 beers.
Mm-hmm.
You only have enough people to drink about 12 beers.
Mm-hmm.
Who in the beer drinking contest? Me or you?
Me.
How you won?
Because I get 12 extra beers to drink. I win.
Yeah.
All you people could only get one beer.
Your people. With cheek and tongue. Cheek and tongue, you won. But overall, I won. It's the same thing with the elections. Everybody was finding out the 200 and something thousand people.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could have got enough people out to push me over the edge for me to win.
Mm-hmm.
I won. Everybody had the same amount of people, you know. Just that I get more people to support me than you got to support you.
All right, I understand.
Don't talk about low voter turner, no voter turner at all.
I understand the analogy.
Who got the most people to support them won the race.
No, that is also true. However, the PLP won the battle, but what they expose is the Davis administration losing the war.
So
if I accept your premise, right?
Yeah.
If I accept your premise that the PLP's job is to get their people to come out to vote for them.
The FNM too.
Right.
Everybody's job is to get
the FNM
is to get the people to come out.
Is to get people to come out and vote for them. See, you keep using this word "their people," but you don't know that.
Okay, to get people to come out to vote for them.
Right.
When I say their people, whether we believe it or not, the FNM has a base. The PLP has a base.
Mm-hmm.
Look, right now, the COI is developing a base.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a base.
Mm-hmm. See, you're like
everybody
this.
Everybody have a group of people.
You're
I
like,
don't care who they put, they're going to vote for them.
You're
they,
like,
that party.
That's good. You're like this political culture. It's great for politics. It's horrible for governance. The PLP won the battle and exposed that the Davis administration is losing the war. Here's what I mean.
But how could the Davis administration lose the war, Ms. Green? If you have 41 seats, and a party win 33.
Because the election.
How they could be losing the war?
Because the election is not the war. The election is the battle. See, that's the problem. That's the problem with the political culture. I like that we are right here. I like that we are right here, right now. The election is the battle. Good governance is the war. Right?
Yeah.
So you get enough people to come out and vote for you with no concern, on how your campaigning, how your public presence impacts the electorate as a whole. See, the electorate is only important to the party when it comes to voting. They understand that. So while you may get enough people to come out and vote and get your party in power, you have not convinced enough people.
Let me finish the sentence.
You have not convinced enough people to participate in the political process to manage a country properly.
Ms. Green, let me. I usually don't disagree with you. You're my number one. But what I'm saying, all of them are after the same. Ain't like they have 10 people in one bunch and the next. Everybody's getting after the same people, you know. The same 250,000 people, the FNM, the PLB, and the COI.
No, not in this, not this election.
Them.
Not this election. I'm glad that you used that language. Not this election, because the language was very precise this election. I found it fascinating. the PLP campaign, not all the other war room offshoots, not the war room offshoots, but the legitimate Progressive Liberal Party campaign used very specific language. And in many of the videos, they told PLPs to come out and vote. They didn't,
the
hold on. They
the
didn't,
FNMs
no,
come
no.
out and vote.
That's one, that's how you win the battle. But to win the war, you tell, hold on,
okay,
you tell Bahamians.
And I understand you, but I gotta let you go right now. But let me ask you that.
Yeah.
What did the FNM campaign on for
nothing,
this election?
Nothing. Nothing.
Okay.
In enough time.
The campaign on progress.
No.
And every person that
their
vote had something to say about progress. The FNM started off with the passport them in the plane. That didn't stick on the wall. Then they come back with the immigration. That didn't stick on the wall.
Because Ingram wouldn't let it stick.
So every time somebody tried to get attracted to the FNM switched the message.
No,
them, and then
Ingram switched the message.
The PLP stuck with progress.
They
started with progress and they end with progress.
No. The FNM had a horrible campaign. Everything that Pintard threw at the wall, Ingram took it off right away. Bang.
You see that.
But the PLP did not.
You see that. You think after the first. You think after
no, man.
The
first, this be. Let me. Only I could make fun of. I know I can't even make fun of Ingram. Let me make fun of the FNM. I ain't making fun of Ingram. I'm scared to do that. Let me make fun of the FNM. When you say the PLP campaigned on progress and producer, let's prep the next caller, let them know they're coming up next. I mean, turn the light red. Caller, I'm coming to you right now. You say the PLP campaigned on progress. They said that they campaigned on progress. There was not one issue. There was not one real issue on the table. They could not speak to any of their programs. Y'all don't even want me. I'm ready to walk through the Golden Yoke program right now, you know. I'm ready to walk through it right now. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Greg.
Hey, good morning. How you do?
First time caller.
Good morning.
Now, this may or may not add to your point with respect to the last caller and what you've been trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got the right Pinewood.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where Lincoln Bain ran?
Say that again? Pinewood? Yeah, that's where Lincoln Bain ran.
Right. So I'll use Pinewood as an example.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lincoln lost by, everything is relative, but by a narrow margin to Rota.
Yeah. They say about 300
however,
the final count. Yeah.
Sorry, how many votes?
I think they said, and the final count, 300. But I think that Bain has announced an intention to challenge that in the election court. I think he's announced that, yeah.
Right, but my point is this.
Mm-hmm.
My point is this. Hold a second. You get? Okay, my point is this. Lincoln lost by 300 points. But Lincoln's and the Nauri had close to 900 points.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you look at it in this way, Lincoln Bain, the Nauri rule, you put their point total together based on the amount of persons that voted.
Mm-hmm.
The person who won did not get the majority votes of the persons that voted.
Yeah. I got you.
You see them where I'm going with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's just to support your point about winning the battle and not the war.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you. I can use that as an example as well, right? Because you would say to the public, come vote. You must come vote. And if you choose, vote for me. Not PLPs come out and vote. Right? It's a completely different message. And I think while they had an excellent campaign, particularly compared to the FNM's campaign, it was good for the party, but detrimental to the country. Right? And I mean, that's just my opinion. It's just my opinion. But as we talk about voter apathy, a trend, voter numbers trending down, right? We haven't even talked about how the fixed register shifts the culture, right? The voting culture. Because people remember it's time to vote by going to register. A lot of people didn't realize they were on the register. because they thought they had to go and register. They didn't realize they could have just gone and voted. Here's a text. It says, the PLP won the battle, but the country lost the war. Another text. Good morning, Elutra Aaron. I pray you continue with the two-hour show because it's very informative. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to have 2 hours because we could delve in to more things. But we're going to see how it works out. I just love being on this platform. I just love being on this platform. Plus, if I get 2 hours all the time, y'all will get sick of me. Sick of me. Okay, so here is the article. Davis administration revives long-delayed FOIA promise. Nassau Tribune, 21st of May. The Davis administration has again promised to fully implement the Freedom of Information Act, reviving a long-delayed transparency pledge after failing to deliver the reform during its first term. Before the 2021 election, the PLP's Blueprint for Change promised to fully enact the reform and introduce several other transparency measures, including an ombudsman bill, a public disclosure act, an anti-corruption act, campaign finance reform, a code of conduct, a whistleblower act, electoral reform, and procurement reform. Only electoral reform and procurement reform were implemented, though concerns about the procurement system persisted. To the earlier caller, that's the conversation about state-owned enterprises, right? It's around whether the state followed to the letter the requirements, the existing law around procurement, the Procurement Act. And I think that's it, and other relevant acts and pieces of legislation. We go into the break. When we get back from the break, I can continue reading that article and a couple of more stories from the news. Also, the people them heckling in the house. This is also a part of the conversation about low voter turnout and voter apathy, electoral culture. You're on Guardian Radio AM. We'll be right back.
Why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, but just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
But it was serious. Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crock Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologists can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on Guardian Radio AM, and Guardian Radio AM is on it. I got a text in the break. Good morning. Blessings. Is it so that retirement age has now moved to 70? It was in the works from this government. I have not heard any announcement that they were getting ready to raise the age of retirement to 70. That doesn't mean that there were not utterances, but in the break, I went to the AI so I could gather some information quickly. I can tell you the sources are from Bahamas Government, National Insurance Board, Bahamas Laws, Pensions Act, and Eyewitness News article with former Director of Labor, John Pinder. All right, so that's the source. The AI use and some international things, right? It says the mandatory retirement age in the Bahamas is 65 years old for both men and women across the public and private sectors. However, public service employees have their own specific regulations under the Pensions Act, right? The early retirement, you can begin claiming a reduced pension benefit as early as age 60, provided you have at least 50 weeks of paid contribution. 500. You have 500 weeks of paid contributions. Regular pension, the full standard pension, is accessible at age 65, also requiring a minimum of 500 paid contributions. Working after 65, individuals receiving their NIB retirement benefit between the ages of 60 and 64 face earning restrictions. However, once you reach age 65, you can continue to work or return to the workforce and collect your pension without any restrictions on your earnings. So if you take on an early retirement from one job but continue working, there are some restrictions on access to pension. But if you continue working after the age of 65, you can continue to work or return to the workforce and collect your pension without any restrictions on your earnings. All right. I wanted to read that because in our earlier conversation about elder abandonment, the state's conversation around it. I think it's important to acknowledge, like I was trying to say earlier, that young people often complain these old people don't want to retire, they don't want to leave the job. Well, unfortunately for them and for you and for us, we have not actually created a system where people can just retire. All of these economists and people and government actors be around your head talking about it. Lower class, upper class, middle class, working class. There's only two classes in the Bahamas. There are the people that have to work to survive, and there are those who don't, right? And if we begin using the correct language, then we could begin to understand why these old people don't move off the job and why they don't put their car keys down. Because if you don't have your own mobility, you lose access to money and money-making opportunities. And if you leave working life, you become invisible. And I think that's one of the greatest risks for aging populations, for aging people, is the risk that because of the lack of structure and systems in their communities and country, as soon as they could no longer drive or they are perceived to no longer have a degree of authority or power, they become invisible, right? But that has to be balanced. We have to balance that because if we're all in this together, the conversation cannot start with the state shifting the blame or the burden or the obligation onto family members. Let me just close this segment out by continuing to read the article from the Cato News. I think it's Curacao. PAHO launches new policy briefs to strengthen long-term care in Caribbean. Right? We pick it up here, quote, while care needs can arise at any age, they become more common as people grow older. Patricia Marsh, PAHO's regional advisor on healthy aging, said. PAHO notes that not all people with disabilities require long-term care, but warns that the prevalence of severe functional limitations is increasing, partly due to the rise in non-communicable diseases. We get that problem here. That's where you have limbs amputated or your mobility is severely restricted because of your health conditions. Producer, let's prep that caller. Partly due to the rise in non-communicable diseases, including neurological and mental health conditions, as well as population aging. We'll continue after the caller. Good morning, caller.
Yes, your uncle again.
Hey, hey, how you do?
Okay. Deuteronomy 8 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
All the way the Lord shall lead us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's where the slogan was taken from in 1967.
Okay.
All the way the Lord shall lead us.
Okay.
Now, the question here, 50-plus years later,
mm-hmm.
I guess 60-plus later, now, where are we being led?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we were supposed to be placing Pharaoh in Egypt on the side, but it seems like we have a whole bunch of pharaohs now reigning over us.
Mm-hmm.
Claiming to be Moses. And the status quo that we are seeing, you know, especially that whole crowd across the Atlantis, that whole status quo is dependent upon this, upon the persons who work in this nation being subservient. And like you mentioned, we got two persons, those who have to work and those who don't have to work.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest issue we got is those who don't have the work, they are very dependent on the public treasury.
Listen.
You know, that's the whole irony of it now. Now, just suppose, right, all this money we've been spending over the years on contracts and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if that was spent on infrastructure?
You're talking too much sense, Uncle. You're talking too much sense. Like, what if we could just tighten up, just straighten up, reduce the wastage, right? Just reduce the wastage. How much we would have available to reshore, that's not the word, to shore up our state systems, right? While you were talking, Uncle, I thought about, you know, how Saul became Paul on the road to Damascus. Well, look how Joshua became Moses on the road to the House of Assembly, right? Because they all cry, let me in, I'm a part of the Joshua generation, let me in, we're taking our place. And as soon as that foot crosses the threshold, instantly they turn into Moses. Old man, preaching voice and all, even the women do it. As soon as they get in, they begin. Even Sebastian did it. As soon as he crossed the threshold, he started speaking like an old man preacher. That's why I know the PLP was going to ratify him long time, because he started talking like an old man preacher a long time ago. Anyway, let me continue reading from this PAHO article, because I think it is important, right? It goes on to say, in the region, nearly 70% of long-term care is provided by women in the family, often without pay or adequate support. This is why we have to have a conversation about how much of the burden will be shifted onto families, understanding that women tend to take up 70% of the work, whether they get paid or not. This places a significant burden on them and highlights persistent gender inequalities. PAHO stresses that policies must address not only those receiving care, but also those providing it. So if the state wants to begin this process of shifting the burden of the burden or the duty of care onto family members who may be estranged, family members who may have been estranged from their own families by the parents you now want them to take care of. The article continues, the new series of documents aims to operationalize PAHO's regional policy on long-term care, 2025 to 2020, to 2034. I don't think we should allow our Minister of Health to have another conversation on this subject without referencing PAHO's Regional Policy on Long-Term Care 2025 to 2034. Translating it into actionable recommendations to improve access, quality, and equity in long-term care. The first three publications focus on key areas. Person-centered long-term care. Person-centered long-term care. The roles, rights, and needs of paid and unpaid caregivers. The roles, rights, and needs of paid and unpaid paid caregivers. I don't think it would be appropriate for somebody to get up at this juncture and say, I took care of you all my life and made sure you didn't starve and die, and the least you could do is take care of me whether you're getting paid or not. It doesn't quite work that way. And the last of the three key areas are governance and financing of long-term care systems, right? You are sending people to homes that do not have long-term care systems. And I think we are getting to the root of the problem that concerns the Minister of Health and Wellness. You're telling us that the state cannot handle these people. Their residency and long-term occupancy in the hospital limits the number of beds available for new patients, right? Do you know how much a hospital bed costs? How is somebody on working minimum wage, single parent, working minimum wage, possibly receiving child support, which is just the minimum of what anybody needs to raise a whole human, how are they going to afford to put the long-term care system in their home so that when the law comes to ensure that they are meeting the standard for this long-term care, they don't get locked up? This is a very broad and very important conversation. 3 score and 10, gang. Now's the time to ride. With your seatbelts on, with your glasses on, no cell phone in your hand, following the laws of the road. Move into one lane. Like if you doing 7 in one lane and the person next to you doing 7, get in the lane with them. Y'all could be friends. Y'all could have a good time in that lane together. But it's time to ride. Organize yourselves. This is your conversation. It could be my conversation too. Don't let me take the lead. Because I riding to old age and beyond. This has been Guardian Radio AM. With C.A. Newry, it's Aaron Green sitting in for Mr. C.A. You guys have a great day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.